On the KSRO live line with us this morning is and he is from Arizona State University. He's a professor in the School of Life Sciences. Stephen Pine is here. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning to you.
And you've written an article to help prevent the next big wildfire, Let the Forest Burn. And, of course, we're all very sensitive to that in the state of California. And one of the items that you point out, Professor, it's pretty striking, too, that now 11 million of us in California live in the wildland-urban interface. And we know about that in Santa Rosa. We suffered from it a year ago, October. That's a lot of people living in fire-prone areas.
Well, it certainly is, but I need to correct you. I didn't write that article. That was a New York Times editorial piece.
Oh, thank you for correcting me.
I was quoted in it.
Thank you.
So, that's fine. Yeah, it is a problem. It's been recognized for a long time. About 30 years ago, there was a national program coordinated by the U.S. Forest Service and the National Fire Protection Association targeting exactly this problem, identifying it and trying to get some traction.
30 years ago.
That was 30 years ago.
Wow.
So it is not a new idea. The term itself was coined a dozen years before that. So it's been around a long time. It just hasn't been tragic enough or painful enough to get real traction.
And so this is, I see that now. I think a lot of people are taking this a lot more seriously, the notion of letting the forests burn. How do we know where that that philosophy ought to begin and end?
Well, that's a great question. And unfortunately, the title, of course, is chosen to be provocative. And when you've got situations like happened last year at Santa Rosa, or more recently at Paradise, they're really not. I mean, one way to think about it is a wildland fire that's run amok. How do we cope with that? The other is to pick up the other end of the stick and say, you know, these are really urban fires. Once they've crossed the barrier, they burn as urban fires. They have funny landscaping, maybe odd ignition, but we need to think of these as urban fires. And, you know, our cities used to burn as frequently as the surrounding countryside, and we solved that. And we need to begin thinking about hardening our houses and our redesigning the communities in ways to accept this. That's how we solved the problem with cities a while back. On the countryside, however, there are lots of things we can do. We can create sort of the fire equivalent of green belts. We're not going to eliminate fire. In many places, we need fire, but we can certainly change the character of the fire and try to eliminate these kinds of explosive fires that are so damaging. So lots of things, lots of mild treatments. One way is to substitute, accept the fact that they're going to burn. In many cases, we want them to burn, and to have them burn under our conditions rather than result of, you know, electrical power line failures or arsonists or accidents.
Well, Professor, there's been so much discussion, even from the White House, about forest management, and I know that that letting some of these wildfires burn is part of the forest management makeup, and it turns out that for all of the logging that most Californians were against many years ago, that logging has actually increased the density of the forests, which is an interesting sidebar to this conversation.
Well, if you're going to propose solutions, and you know, a lot of people have worked on this. There's a whole bunch at UC Berkeley under Scott Stevens, who has put a lot of effort into the Sierra Front area in particular. What kinds of things work, what don't? Logging is a hot-button topic, and you need to be careful about proposing using fire and the tragedies that fire can cause to stir up. They can stir up a lot of emotions, and so you redirect that to some other agenda that may not have anything to do with solving the fire problem. And that's really the issue, I think, with logging, is that fire burns the little stuff and leaves the big. Logging takes the big stuff and leaves the little. So you have to clean up after logging, which is expensive. Usually it's done with fire. Some of those fires will likely escape. you'll have lots of smoke as a result of it. So there are certainly reasons to log, but let's not pretend that logging is a solution to the fire problem. There are lots of other things. Thinning, which is a kind of woody weeding. There are certain kinds of masticating or wood chipping followed by fire that can be very effective. There are cocktails of things you need to do. There's no one single solution.
And one of the, the fact of the matter is that more and more of us want to live in the outlying areas of a community. And when you couple that with, as stated in the article, when you couple that with the fact that most fires are man-made, then, that's a deadly combination, but not likely to change.
It's not likely to change, but we can certainly affect the conditions. I mean, think about how many fires, the worst fires in the last couple of decades, have been started by power lines, not only in California. The Gatlinburg, Tennessee fires were primarily power lines and others. And you think that's an almost insoluble problem. But we had a similar problem in the U.S. in the 19th, early 20th century with railroads starting fires. They were horrific. They were huge economic presences.
Kind of
they
makes
were
sense.
Powerful
yeah.
political. And we fixed it, you know. So if we choose to, we can. And that would reduce one of the worst ignition sources, because what causes that to fail are high winds. That's also the same condition that will propel fires, cause them to explode too quickly for us to try to contain them.
And here in Santa Rosa, you know, we're about 14 months away from the wildfires of 2017. Many of the homes are being rebuilt, many more in the planning stages, and yet significant changes have not been made in terms of how those homes are built, or as you referred to, how they've been hardened against fire. And that itself seems like a real problem moving forward.
Well, it is. We can understand it. There's an urgency. We need to get people back in houses. We need to reestablish community life.
Sure.
People are insured for one level. They may not be insured under present construction, much less to change the standards. All these things are understandable, but all you're doing is recreating the problem. Because in these situations, you're not, well, in most urban situations, we put a fire out, it solves a problem. But in wildland or this wildland urban intermix, you put fire problems, you're just put fires out, you're just putting problems off.
Yeah.
It's going to come back. The winds, the vegetation, the climate, all these things. California is built to burn, and it's built to burn at times explosively, and those conditions aren't going to change. We can tinker with them, but we have to accept that. And we can live with fire. We really can. There are good examples, but how to rebuild and how to retrofit all of those houses that for 50 or 60 years were built under presumably a different set of conditions, that is an enormous social and economic expense, and a political, it takes a lot of political capital as well. I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah, and at the end of the article, Dr. Pine, you say that if California can begin to change that scenario, that we could set the bar for the rest of the country, at least the rest of the Western United States. And let's hope we do just that.
Well, I'm certainly hoping so. You're moving steadily, but it's an enormous problem and not easily fixed, and it's going to take decades. But there are things you can begin doing pretty quickly to reduce the risk. And a lot of these risky areas are mapped. They're known. They're identified.
Yeah.
Fires recur there. So it's possible. And if California changes, that would be a huge influence throughout the country.
Well, we're knocking on some of that wood now, Dr. Payne, that
okay.
happens indeed. And thanks so much for being here with us this morning.
Well, thank you and good luck.
All right. That is Dr. Stephen Pine with Arizona State University talking about what to do next about the wildfire situation.